Amen. Church, before you take a seat, say hi to a couple people around you right now. Say hi to some new faces, some new friends. Kids ministry, you are dismissed. Kids ministry, you are dismissed. Miss Dorothy is going to be hanging out with you guys. Hello, mates. Say hi to a few more people. Say good morning. Say hello. Say I love y'all, even though I just met y'all. Say hi, say hi. Say hi to one more person, one more person, one more person, one more person. Say hello, hello. Kids ministry, you are dismissed. Kids ministry, you are dismissed. Well, good morning, Christ Church. How we feeling? Worship was awesome. God is great. It's rainy, it's cold, but we are still showing up present to be filled, to be stirred up, and to be encouraged as well. Man, I'm so glad to hang out with you guys. And can we say hello to all of our friends who are watching online right now? Hello, online friends. Good to see every single one of you guys. Just got a couple announcements before we jump into today's message. The very first one is, you guys already know, we've been talking about it every single Thursday. We have our growth nights. That means every week we're doing something new, something different to help you to grow, pun intended, and to help you to mature in your faith, and but also to meet and gather with one another. Last week we had our worship night, which was awesome and great, and the Lord was present and working in and through that moment. But this week, we're going to be continuing. For some of you, are going to be excited for this one. We're going to be continuing in our talk on in our class, You Said Yes. Some of you are like, yes, thank God, we got it back. We're here. We're ready to do it. You Said Yes is just pretty much a class about the fundamentals of what it looks like to be a Christian, right? What does it look like to follow Jesus? Right, what are the steps? What does that mean, right? There's like, it's one thing to say it, it's another thing to like live it, right? And a lot of us are looking for ways of how to live it. So if that interests you, there's a group of people, no matter where you are in your faith. Some of you, you've been a Christian for a long time, and you still need some clarity, right? Right? Some of you, you know, Christianity, you're seeking, you're trying to understand. No matter where you are, this class is for you. So I want to encourage you guys. That's going to be going on this Thursday at 6:30 p.m. here at our Old Brooklyn campus. Also, what's coming up, we got a couple cool things. Next week, we're going to be having baptisms, y'all. We're going to be celebrating baptisms. Here at Christ Church, we believe that baptism is an outward expression of an inward conviction. We believe this, that the way the New Testament presents itself, that when one comes to faith in Christ Jesus, the next step is baptism. So if that's you, right, and you feel the tug in your heart, the Lord calling you to do this, we want to encourage you to sign up for baptisms and to check us out online. That's the way you can do that. Come talk to somebody with a blue lanyard. They would love to get you connected for baptism. But then also the week after, so next week we have baptisms. The week after, we're going to have baby dedications, y'all. I'm excited for baby dedications. We got a couple babies in the house that's going to be dedicated. Yeah. We're excited for that, man. Just a couple great things coming on up. Our CC youth, our amazing youth leaders, they also going to have a Friendsgiving that's going to be going on in 2 weeks. So it's not next Sunday, so the Sunday after. That's two, right? And so that's the Sunday after. They're going to have a Friendsgiving. So if you are a youth or you know somebody that's in that high school, middle school age, to come on out and hang out with them. It's going to be an amazing, amazing time. We are continuing in our sermon series through this reality of pain and suffering. And we've been walking through this series. And we've been studying the Gospel of John, in particular, this portion in John chapter 11. And so we're going to continue in that today. If you open up your Bibles or bring out your phone, John chapter 11, I'm going to have my friend Sierra come on up and do our scripture reading for today.
We are going to start with verse 17. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them in concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you bow your heads and let's pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we are speaking of a topic that is heavy for many of us, a topic on pain and suffering that a lot of us have experienced and are currently experiencing in our lives today. But we know that, Lord, you are the one who meets us in our pain, but also is able to deliver us through our pain. So we look to you and only you to meet us here and to get us to where we need to be. Speak to our hearts in such a way where we are convinced what evil meant to harm us, you're able to take it and bring it to good. What suffering tried to rob from us, you can revive to us. So help us to experience that reality today. Help us to walk faithfully with you. Help us to look at this story as not just a story that happened 2,000 years ago, but rather a reality to walk in today. The truth of what this passage exposes for our hearts and our minds and our faith as well. We love you and we thank you. In Christ's wonderful name is who we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, can you give it up for the worship team one more time? They did awesome today, like usual. Love serving with you guys. So as we said, we are in week two of our series on this particular passage in the Gospel of John, John chapter 11 in particular, talking about pain and suffering. We know that this is a heavy series, but at the end of the day, you know, we want to present this series to anchor you in hope. Right? We want to help you to be anchored in hope. That the goal isn't to talk about this to trigger emotion, but to move you forward in hope. Right? That's the goal of what we're trying to do and what the scriptures communicate to us as we walk through this series. So I encourage you, if at all there's something that is just hitting you at your core emotionally during this, look for those who have blue lanyards around. They would love to pray for you. We know that, again, this series is going to, bring us to a journey that a lot of us don't want, but it's necessary because it's a journey that God meets us in, and God is always going to move us forward as well in our lives. So I'm excited to continue in this series. And some of you guys know, who have been listening to me for a while, I joke a lot about my kids, right? You've heard it all, haven't you, friends? I've told you everything from the oldest breaking his arm, trying to be Spider-Man, right? You're right, to jumping off the roof, literally that happened. To one sticking a rock up his nose and got stuck. Yeah, that was really, really fun. Kiddos, toddlers, it is just it's a crazy time. And you know, I bring up those stories to make points, but and everything, and I know you guys enjoy them, and you witness how crazy they are when they're here and everything. And as much as I joke about my children, at one time in my life, my wife and I, we battled through a season of infertility. We battled through a season where we had this longing that God was calling us to be parents. And we prayed about it, and we begged God for it, and we did all the things that we thought were necessary, but we were just met with season after season of disappointment, right? And for many of you, you know what that's like, the reality of infertility, the reality of not able to have children. Some of you know what that's like and have been through that before. And maybe that's not you, but I guarantee you this. Wherever you have been in your life, we all have experienced the reality of disappointment. Am I right? And disappointments, they sting our hearts beyond we can ever fathom. Disappointments, they feel world-crushing, don't they? The disappointment, it leaves us numb and disoriented and even to the point where we feel hopeless. Like everything we prayed for and everything we desire and everything that we're thinking that this is what God wants from us slowly slips away from us, right? Right? Disappointment happens when reality doesn't meet our expectations. When reality doesn't meet our expectations. And you want to know what stings even more about disappointment? When everybody is getting the thing you want. Right? I remember going through that season where we were having a hard time having children and everybody around us was having children. Right? And I was comparing my life with other people and asking myself and even asking God, why are you blessing them and not me? What about me, right? We've been in that boat before. And disappointment, and we're going to read in a passage. And part of this story that we're going to continuously enter into, is talking about how to face disappointments, right? How to face disappointments. Because disappointments, they may break your expectation, but they can never break God's purposes. That's what we're going to read about today. Disappointments, they may break your expectations, and you will be disappointed in this life. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that everything that you desire and want is going to happen. And disappointments, yes, they are going to break our expectations, but the reality is those disappointments can't break God's purposes for our lives. And this is kind of where we're going to be anchored in today as we continue in this beautiful story, is that disappointment is not a moment of defeat. That's usually how we interpret it, don't we? Usually we interpret disappointment as defeat. It's all over. Nothing can happen from here moving forward. Nothing good can happen from here moving forward. But disappointment is not a moment of defeat, but it's an opportunity God uses to renew our faith. That's what I want each and every one of you to know. And wherever your season of life is today, whatever disappointments is robbing your joy today, robbing your peace today, robbing your hope today, I want to encourage you, those are not moments of defeat, but moments where God can bring in and renew something in you. Something in you. And that's what we're going to be reading about in this story in John chapter 11. Now, let's rehearse a little bit for those who are just entering in with us. Last week, we opened up this story. We opened up this story as Jesus, he is heading towards the cross. But as he's heading towards the cross, the gospel writers talk about certain events that happen that are important to help us to understand the reality of the cross, the truths of the cross. And we enter into this story where Jesus and this family, that their brother Lazarus, some of you have heard this story, some of you just may be brand new, these two sisters and their brother Lazarus, this man is sick. And Jesus enters into this village, and they hear about Jesus entering, and they send word to Jesus saying, the one whom you love is sick, Lazarus, he is dying. He doesn't just have a cold. He doesn't have COVID-21. He is dying. He is on his deathbed. So there's a sense of urgency, but Jesus doesn't move immediately. We learned that last week. God doesn't move on our time. We would love God to. We want God to. We tell ourselves, God, do it now. And we want relief, but in the middle of our struggle, we understand God wants relationship. But because God, before God can do something for you, most of the time he wants to do something in you, right? That's what we talk. Before God can do something for us, he usually wants to do something within us. And that's what we talked about last week. And Jesus takes his sweet old time. Sometimes God feels like he's taking forever, doesn't he? Waiting on the Lord is a cute, cute song to sing, but it's a hard reality to live. Right? Wait on the Lord. You guys heard that song before? I will wait on the Lord. No, you don't want to wait on the Lord. You want blessings now. You want Amazon Prime type of blessings right now at my doorstep tomorrow. I want relief. But we realize that seasons of suffering, the hidden gift of suffering, the pain. And when I say pain, I don't mean pain like you have a headache. I'm talking about the pain where your heart hurts. And that type of pain, God desires to present to us something deeper that comfort would have never exposed to us. And that's what we realized. And we realize in this story, Jesus takes his sweet old time. But here now we're reading in this passage that Jesus now makes his way. After 4 days of him, this man Lazarus, he has now been dead. 4 days has gone by. Right? Can you imagine the sisters waiting that long? 4 days have gone by. And in verse 17, this is what it says. It says this. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already spent 4 days. See, I wasn't lying. Already spent 4 days in the tomb. Now, Bethany, this was the city where the family was from, the city where Jesus would often visit, and he would go to this family's house so much he would have meals there. Last week we talked about Jesus had friends, y'all. Jesus was liked, okay? Not by everyone, but, man, he had some friends, right? And he would go to Martha and Mary's house and eat meals and share a word, and Lazarus would be there, and they'd all be hanging out, and it's a great, great time. But in this story, it's not a great time. And it says in verse 18, now Bethany was near Jerusalem, a little less than 2 miles away. Here's the author trying to tell you that Jesus traveled. They didn't have Uber back then. They didn't have your smart cars like we have today. Them boys walked. So it took Jesus a long time to get there, right? But look what it says in verse 19. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary. These are the two sisters. Many of the Jews have come to Martha and Mary to console them in the loss of their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. Listen to this. But Mary stayed home. This is important. Jesus comes into this city. And John, the gospel writer, opens up with the setting. Okay, here's the setting. Jesus enters. And the people are there consoling the sisters. They had just lost their brother. The world was falling apart. You ever had your world feel like it was falling apart? Your world feel like it's falling apart today. You find yourself helpless and hopeless and needy. We see in this passage, there's something beautiful that's happening. Scripture says that there were Jews that were there consoling Martha and Mary. I find this interesting. If you do some study, this is what they call the sitting Shiva. It is a Jewish practice that a period of 7 days after, or 7 days of mourning, I'm sorry, there were friends and family that would come to the home and visit the family of the deceased. What are they there for? To offer comfort. To offer comfort. And here's the one thing that I've noticed, and I just want to make this small point before we move on to the main points. When you face pain and suffering, which you will have some tragedy, you will experience some loss. God is not just aware of your suffering. He has a way of providing for you in your suffering as well, too. How does he do that? How does he do that? By sometimes bringing people into your life to aid and help and support you on this road of faith. See, God is not just aware of what you go through. His heart is to move towards you and provide to you when you are in where you are at. God brings his people into your life. Listen, I can tell you right now, some of my closest friends that I have today, some of the people that I can call brothers and sisters, have been people that have met me on the road of pain. And that's why the church exists. Can I just tell you that right now, friends? That's why the church exists. It says in the scriptures that in the book of Galatians, it says we are called to bear one another's burdens. We're called to walk with one another in the seasons of life. Because here's the truth, friends. Here's the truth. Pain becomes unbearable in isolation. It becomes unbearable in isolation. And the reason why it's hard to walk through suffering, the reason why it's hard to walk through the hard moments, is because we say to ourselves, I just want to be alone. And there's time for that. And there's blessing in that. And God works in the silence. God works in the solitude. But God also works in the gathering as well. Here's the truth, friends. Some of us, we have a hard time experiencing God. Not because God isn't near. It's because we don't have the people around us to remind us that God is near. Because the people that come into your life, it's just not out of acts of kindness. That is God ordaining his grace and mercy to remind you through them, he is near. He is near. So I want to encourage you today, if you're facing tragedy, if you're in the midst of heartache, you're in the midst of pain, friends, the best thing you can ever do is to gather with the people around you. Is to gather with people who can bring you hope, who can bring you courage, who can bring you joy, who can bring you some type of word, not a word that comes from them, but a word that comes from God, right? And this is why this is so important. This is the idea, the reality God wants for you as well. Because I noticed this, pain loses context when you do it alone. Pain loses its context when you do it by yourself, right? Here's the thing, friends, and I know the world likes to tell you something different, but I'm here to give you the truth. You are not strong by yourself. I'm sorry. You are not strong by yourself. You need the people. Here at the church, we offer so many groups and opportunities to help you where you are. We have life groups. Right? We have a young adult group that meets. We have a women's group that meets. We have a men's group that meets. Right? We have so many different groups that meet, that come together. Because at the end of the day, sometimes what helps us to move forward is knowing that we have people in our corner. Right? Right? We have care groups. I just want to encourage some of you. We have this group called, what is it, Pastor Don? The Grief Group, Grief Share, Grief Group. Grief Share, thank you. You should know this, Pastor. I know. We have a group that meets, and there are people that have experienced loss and disappointment like you have. And these groups are catered to helping you to move forward and to move forward with God, right? We have cancer support groups, beautiful groups that meet and gather together and that join with one another and they help each other in this journey. We have therapy. You know I'm a big proponent for that, right? Christian Shay, just pray about it. Yeah, I like that, but you know what? I also need somebody to vent to, right? Right? I encourage you, friends. I want to encourage you. Do not do your hardship alone. Do not. Don't listen to that lie. Do not do it alone. So here's what's going on, that these sisters, they're being crowded around these people, and these people are helping them to aid moving forward. And then the passage moves to this. Look what it says in verse 20. Look what it says in verse 20. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed home. This is a very interesting passage. What are we seeing happening here? Jesus enters into the scene. Enters onto the scene. And here he is, present. And the sisters, they hear about Jesus. He's finally here. Look who decided to show up. a little bit too late, Jesus, right? That's probably what they're thinking. But we see these two sisters, right? And these two sisters represent one of us. Both of them are experiencing sorrow. One of them is still reaching, but the other one is far. Did you notice that? Scripture says Martha, she goes to Jesus. In her hurt, she moves forward with him, towards him. But Mary, which probably would have been the younger sister, Mary, she's far from him. She's too hurt. She's too disappointed. She's too much in pain. What are we seeing here? We're seeing, and Mary's going to be next week. Martha's this week. Mary's next week. We're seeing these two women are grieving differently. And Jesus is able to meet both of them in their need. Because here's the thing. A lot of us, we grieve pain and hardship differently, don't we? Right? Some of us, you know, we grieve hardship in one way, and or we go through hardship in this way, or whatever it may be, right? Christ is able to meet both women in their need, right? And what is Martha doing there? She brings to Christ, listen to this, her brokenness. Look at what she says, verse 21. Martha said to Jesus, God himself. This isn't just a man. This is God she's talking to. If you would have just been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Lord, where were you? Why didn't you answer us? Why didn't you answer that prayer that I prayed? Why? If you would have just been here, my brother would still be alive. Right? You hear a lot of sorrow, but behind that sorrow, there is faith. But look at what she says in verse 22. But even I know that God will give you whatever you ask. Martha, I'm gonna sit here for a little bit. Martha expresses both her doubts and her faith at the same time. You notice that? She presents her doubts, but also she is maintained and anchored in faith. She has honest struggle, but she doesn't have unbelief. She's holding faith and frustration hand in hand. Can I tell you, as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, there's going to be moments you're going to have faith and you're going to have frustration at the same time. You're going to say to yourself, I believe in God, but I'm still wondering what is going on. Right? I feel the sense of that everything is out of control. I know God is sovereign. I know God is holy. I know God is mighty. I know God is for me. I know God is with me. But I'm also experiencing pain. There is, and this is what I want a lot of you to know. This is what I want a lot of you to realize. This is Martha's way of grieving. She's disappointed, but she's not disconnected. Notice that? She's angry with God. Did you know it's okay to be angry with God? God is not insecure by your anger and your frustration. God's not like us where he's like, I'm so sorry. I'll try to do better. No. You know what God wants in the moments of pain? For you to bring it to him. For you to bring those frustrations, not be like Mary and sit far from him and just be consumed by it. Because real faith doesn't act like everything's fine. It hands pain to Jesus. It clings to God when things don't make sense. Because there's times in your life, friends, I just want to remind you, there are times in your life when you're going to look at your scene and you look at your circumstances, you're going to say to yourself, this doesn't make sense. My five-year-old, he asked questions all the time, right? And so he'll ask questions like, Daddy, how did they make cement? Bruh, I don't know. I am a pastor, right? I don't even know the difference between a screwdriver and a hammer, all right? And you're asking me, my neighbor's here, he's laughing, he knows that. But anyway, right? What are you asking? But I love that he has this intuition about him. Right? He wants to know. He wants to gravitate towards understanding, right? And what does he do when he doesn't know? He goes to his father, right? Which he needs to go to his mother now. But he goes to his dad. Because he perceives dead has this kind of knowledge, right? He thinks that when I go to dead, dead's going to be able to present to me the things that I'm questioning. And that's what God wants for you. Because at the end of the day, I don't know all the answers. But when things don't make sense, you go to the one who does have the answers. Friends, can I encourage you that you know the gift of the hurts that you have is that it keeps you constantly seeking God. I can't make sense of why this didn't happen and why this is happening to me. But I know this, I'm going to keep seeking the one who can remind me and give to me what I need in this moment. Martha teaches us that doubt and faith are not the opposites. They are companions on the journey of trust. They are companions on the journey of trust. Real faith, again, friends, it doesn't hide pain. Listen, you are going to doubt. And at the end of the day, doubt can be healthy. You're going to question God. You're going to question his nearness. You're going to question all of this. Doubt can be healthy when we are directing it towards him. Not when we're sitting in it. Because God renews our faith when we bring to him our doubts. When we bring to him our doubts. Can I remind you of the Psalms? In the Psalms, if you just read them, you will see a lot of them complaining to God. You don't believe me? Go home and read one of the Psalms. I think it's Psalm 81. Why are you far from me, O God? Why have you rejected me? Have you forgotten about me? Right? You see my enemies, they're trampling all over me. Where are you? Right? I believe it's another psalm. I believe it's in Psalm 43. It says, why are you so at distress, oh my soul? Why are you so distressed? Put your hope in God. You see this struggle, right? And I want you to know, if you doubt, there's nothing wrong with you. Thank you. There's nothing wrong with you. The great men and women of faith of old, doubted God at one point. They did. But what did God do? God met them in their doubt, and God brought clarity in their doubt. And what happened in that? It developed within them a deeper faith. Because God doesn't just want you to know him. He wants you to experience him. God is not out for us to just have intellectual knowledge of him where you can quote God wherever you are in the coffee shop and sound really, really smart. No, when God wants you to know him to the point where you really, truly believe he is my rock. He is my strength. He is my comforter. He is my shepherd. He is my sustainer. And we experience him. We experience that when we bring him our doubts. It's a form of worship. Honesty is a form of worship. It is. It's when we come to God and we say, why am I here? What is going on? God, I need your guidance. I need your light in the midst of this. So here's Martha coming to Jesus saying, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But the story doesn't end well. End there, friends. It doesn't end there. It doesn't end in Martha's doubt. It ends with a deeper sense of clarity. Look how Jesus replies in verse 23. He says this after Martha has laid out Martha has laid out to Christ her complaint. Listen what Jesus says. Your brother will rise again, Jesus told her. Verse 24, Martha replied, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now, if you don't know, Martha and Mary, they would have been a part of the Jewish community. The Jews, their understanding of the end times or their understanding of afterlife is that it was taught, resurrection wasn't just taught when Jesus got there, right? Right? It was taught throughout Israel's history that there is life after the life that we are currently in, right? And she's thinking about an event. She's thinking about, yeah, I know, one day God is going to resurrect everybody, and everybody's going to be a new day and a new heavens and a new earth. I've read all the prophets and all of that. That's what she says. But look what Jesus says in verse 25. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, though he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? This is what Jesus is doing. Jesus is saying, no. Resurrection doesn't just happen when you die. Resurrection is not just a future event to hope in. It's a present relationship to live in now. When you come to faith in Christ, he resurrects you. Brings you from what they call death into life. Resurrection is not just a future event, friends. It is a relationship to live in right here, right now. Right here, right now. Eternal life, which Christ came to bring and came to offer into us. Eternal life doesn't happen when you die, but when you believe. But when you believe, right? The resurrection of Christ is not just an event to hope for, but it's a relationship to live in, which means this: when your dreams die, when your relationships fade, when your confidence feels dead and your hope feels dead and your peace feels absent, he is the resurrection that restores all that was lost. He is the resurrection that restores all that was lost. Meaning this, God revives you. God brings newness into every failure now, to every heartbreak now, to everything that we are disappointed by now. Jesus didn't come to just say, okay, just sit here and wait till I come back. He didn't say that. He says, I will return, and there will be a great day. There will be the great day where I will come, and I will return, and I will make all things new. But I'm making all things new today as well, too. Because resurrection is what God wants you to experience. Christ has the ability and the power to resurrect what is dead in your life today. He has the power to resurrect the loss of hope that you have. He has the power to resurrect the addict in the room. He has the power to resurrect the depressed mom in the room. He has the power to resurrect the one who is exhausted because of life and because of busyness and because of expectations and because of disappointment. He has the power to resurrect now. He says, I am, ego eimi is what it means in the Greek. I am. Jesus is claiming his divinity right here, right now. I have the power to resurrect. And to bring new into your life. But he also speaks of this. When death comes knocking on our door, because I want to be that pastor that reminds you, but that doesn't want you to walk in fear, death will knock on our door one day. It will knock. And some of you, you're experiencing that right now in your body. And that day feels scary. That day feels uncertain. Death will touch the body, but it cannot affect your destiny. Because the only thing death can do to a Christian is to deliver them into the presence of Christ. It's the only thing death can do. That doesn't mean it won't hurt. Doesn't mean you won't have fear. Doesn't mean that you, but it does mean a greater assurance that you and I can hope in. But listen what Jesus also says in this. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet, I like how the ESV says it, yet shall he live. I am the resurrection. What is Jesus doing? Jesus is trying to help her and trying to help us to understand and have an eternal perspective when it comes to life and pain. Romans 8:18 says this, that the suffering of this present time is not worth to be compared to the glory that is going to be revealed to us. That is not the right verse, by the way. Not the right verse, right? That the suffering of this present time is not worth to be. Here's what that passage means. It's not to minimize your pain. It's just to maximize God's glory. Right? What is Jesus doing in this passage? He's helping Martha to view her struggle in light of eternity. Here's what the eternal perspective looks like. The closer you get to Jesus, the less and less you fall in love with this world. The less and less you try to find your comfort here. You know what the eternal perspective looks like? Looks like this. I was made for a better life. I was not made for here. Right? An eternal perspective is when you interpret your pain in view of what God promises. And what God promises, right? It's living with this sense. It's having a radical realism that keeps you honest about life's hurt, but a relentless optimism that keeps you hopeful in God's promises. That's what Jesus is saying. That's what Jesus is presenting to each and every one of us. Because friends, we are going to tell ourselves, we are going to have to remind ourselves time and time again, my best life is not on this side of eternity. My best life is not here. That doesn't mean what happens now doesn't matter. But I know what happens later ends in glory. Jesus tells Martha, this doesn't end in the tomb, but it ends with my glory. Yes, you're disappointed. I get it. Yes, you're frustrated. I understand. But don't stop at the tomb. Keep looking forward to glory. Keep looking forward to purpose. Keep looking forward to renewal. Keep looking forward to redemption. Keep looking forward to this, because that is what's going to happen. Yes, you may feel disappointed. Yes, you may feel that I have abandoned you. But I want you to know that what I've prepared for you is much greater than what you are going through. And that's how we move forward in the midst of our deepest, hardest moments of life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I love you and I thank you. I pray, Lord, that in light of this word today, you will remind us that you are at work, that you are the resurrection. You are able to resurrect, and we don't have to just look forward to what is to come, but rather we can look to you and ask you to resurrect what is needed today. Lord, I pray that you would resurrect a broken marriage today. I pray that you would resurrect a broken family today. I pray that you resurrect a young person who's struggling deeply with their identity, with their life. I pray, Lord, that you would resurrect and bring into fruition your greatness and your glory today, right here, right now, so that we may believe, God, so that we may say to ourselves, though he slay me, yet shall I trust in him. And I will trust in the Lord, even when life doesn't make sense. I will come to the Lord and I will say, Lord, speak to me in my unbelief. Heal me of my unbelief today, O Lord. And guide me in your perfect peace. Lord, you are our rock. You are our salvation. And you are our refuge. When we realize that nothing of this world can truly ultimately satisfy us, we come to this realization: we were made for a better world. So Lord, we trust you and we thank you. In Christ's wonderful name is who we pray. Amen.